Hey guys, Wes Goldberg of Locked On Heat here with my co-host David Ramil. Before we jump into this episode, we're going to do something that we rarely do, and that is to make a humble ask of you. We have a brand new Patreon page. You can find it by going to patreon.com/lockedonheat. And we're asking for people to commit but to pledging $1 a month to help us improve the quality of the show. So check it out. Please take a look. And if you're so inclined to help us out and improve your own listening experience, donate to our fund.
We put out so much free material. The podcast is free, and we spend a lot of time and effort trying to make it the best daily podcast we can for you, the listener. To do that, all we're asking for is 20 listeners to pledge about $1 a month. That would cover the overhead for the software that we're hoping to adopt and use.
By going to patreon.com/lockedonheat and becoming a patron, you will become an official Locked On Heat board member. David and I like to hear from you, and by creating this board, we will have a group of dedicated listeners to bounce ideas off of for the show. You'll have an opportunity to help influence the podcast and get to say cool things to your friends like, I'm on a board.
We're simply asking now that you show your support for what we're doing so that hopefully we can keep doing this for a very long time. First, we'll improve the audio quality, and from there, as we get more pledges, patrons, and of course board members, we'll use the money to further enhance the show and maybe feed the hosts here and there.
So please go check it out. Again, it's patreon.com/lockedonheat. That's patreon.com/lockedonheat.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the NBA for the Step Back and Fan Rack Sports, and I write for the Miami Heat's Tip Off magazine. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Ramil, a credentialed NBA writer who has covered the Heat for SB Nation and AllYouCanHeat.com. I cover the NBA at large for Fanside and Fan Rack Sports, and you can follow me and my writing on Twitter at DRamil13. Before we get started, just a quick reminder that today's show is sponsored by MyBookie, your hookup for all of your betting needs. Go to mybookie.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA, that's LOCKEDONNBA, to get a bonus on top of your first deposit.
We're going to take some of your Twitter questions later on. We're going to spotlight a few performances from last night's game. We're talking about the Heat's win over the Pacers last night. Miami won in Indiana on the second night of a back-to-back. The Heat have now won six straight games. They're fourth place in the Eastern Conference, and now through 41 games, the Heat are 24-17, much better off than they were last season at this point of the season, the midway point of the season, when they were 11-30. Look, they've kind of taken advantage of a soft schedule lately, but I really do think, David, that this team is going into the season. We were wondering, okay, is this going to be the 11-30 team or the 30-11 team from last season, right? Which will this look more like? And I think that this squad right now is more representative of that 30-11 team from the second half of last season. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. It's stylistically different. It's not like they're not relying on the same drive and kick onslaught that was so effective during that 30-11 run. But at the same time, they're finding ways to win. And part of the NBA schedule over an 82-game season is finding ways to win regardless of who your opponent is. You have to be able to take advantage of those soft spots on your schedule in order to fluff up your schedule a little bit and build up that win record. And they're doing that. I mean, that's something they weren't capable of doing last year. And so this is, I think, an improvement on that end. They're finding ways to win. They're getting contributions from across their roster. And I think they're playing at a much higher level than we had anticipated. They're on a 48-win pace. I think that's actually probably close to where we thought they might be if things had broken right for this team. So they're right on it. And you know, obviously, if they continue playing at this level for the rest of the season, they might even eclipse the 50-win mark. That's, you know, it's probably too soon to put those kinds of expectations on this team. But at least that's statistically the pace at which they're playing at.
You know, they beat Orlando during the six-game win streak. They beat Orlando, Detroit, the Knicks, Utah, Toronto without Kyle Lowry, but still a good win. And then Indiana, still a good win on the road on the second night of a back-to-back. But kind of, you know, like I said, it's a little soft of a schedule. Going forward, look, they play Milwaukee on Sunday. Then they have a five-game road trip at Chicago, at Milwaukee again, Brooklyn, Charlotte, Houston. But I think those are all winnable games. Like, I think all of them are winnable games. We'll see how long James Harden is out for Houston, but that's going to be a tough one either way. But they're going to be in those games. Anthony Chang, friend of the program, he pointed out that the Heat are 54-28 in their last 82 games? I mean, you're talking about a 50-win pace. That's basically what they've been. They've been a 54-win team over the last 82 games between the end of last season and the start of this season. I'm with you. I think that this team is good. I don't think that the soft schedule is the reason why they've won these games. You know, I felt like we were kind of starting to see the team get better. The soft schedule probably helped with all the injuries that they had. I think against Indiana in that game, they really missed James Johnson in particular.
Right.
But once they can start getting some of these guys back, I think they're just going to be better. You know what I mean? Like, this is once Tyler Johnson's back and healthy, and Justice Winslow and James Johnson are all healthy, Hassan Whiteside is starting to look better. He looked the best he has since he got back from injury in that Indiana game. This team is they're playing, again, soft schedule, but they're playing with a lot of injuries. So I think it sort of evens out. Once they get these guys back, they're going to be deep. They're well-conditioned. They play hard every game. Just through the regular season, I don't even want to think about the postseason right now, but through the regular season, I'm with you. I think they could win 50 games. I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility here.
Yeah, I hate kind of putting those kinds of, like I said, heavy expectations on this team. But they're certainly living up to what we anticipated would be the defining mantra for this team at the start of the season. We thought that they were going to be really well conditioned to start the season, that they were going to be one of those teams that could take advantage of the smaller, the shorter preseason. That didn't happen. They were trying to incorporate new pieces. They couldn't quite capture lightning in a bottle the same way they had at the end of last year. And despite the injuries, they've kind of just found a way to win. And I think now we're starting to see the benefits of Spoelstra's coaching. Like, he's really got his blueprint as far as next man up. As cliche as it sounds, this team is really living it. James Johnson is out yesterday due to the one-game suspension for his altercation with Serge Ibaka, and it doesn't matter. Tyler Johnson somehow, despite a shoulder injury, which we could see him icing on the sideline before tip-off, he goes in there, contributes 15 points off the bench. I mean, Bam Adebayo continues to play at a high level. Goran Dragic seems to be finding his rhythm. Remember, at the end of last year, we talked about him sitting out a few games, that might be the kind of boost that he'd need. He's playing at such a high level over the last few games. I really think he's feeling better, I think. And maybe this was a conscious effort on his part. I know you had always talked about at the start of the year wanting to get him the ball more, have him do more with the ball. I feel like he's finding a really good niche, a balance of, you know, when to score and when to dish out the ball, and he's getting everybody involved, and he's playing.
He looks like he's in the best shape, of this season. Like, I critiqued him earlier, maybe a few weeks ago, saying like he doesn't look like he's in good shape.
Right. Right.
He looks like he's finally turning the corner hard. He's getting to the rim faster. He's finishing at a higher rate lately. He looks the best he has all season.
Now, I do want to point out something in that Pacers game. I know it's a little off topic here, but did you catch that foul call when he stopped his dribble as he was going up court?
Now, that was the tuck rule of a regular season game. That's they made that up, I think.
Well, it's a good call, but I mean, I'm just wondering if it's going to be like a point of emphasis around the league, because guys like Westbrook does it, John Wall does it, like lots of points.
It's the Chris Paul move.
Yeah, exactly. And I've yet to see Chris Paul called for it. So I'm curious to see whether or not it's something that's widespread. But I think the glaring part of Dragic's foul was that he kind of went sideways into Sabonis's path. And that was kind of – that was a little too obvious there. But either way, look, he's
the butt.
Yeah. He's always been really savvy. He always knows how to maximize his limited athleticism and make the most of space. So I think we're just finding – a comfortable balance for him there. Like, I can't get over the past that the fact that he's scoring at such a high level, but still dishing the ball at a high level to get everybody involved. And I think that's like the definition of the point guard duties that he's embodies here.
20 points and 9 assists in that game. We're going to get to some of the Twitter questions next, but first, the NFL playoffs are finally here, and I want to tell you guys about mybookie.ag, the number one rated online sports book. With your fantasy football season over, the only way to use your sports knowledge to win money is by betting at MyBookie, the sports book that makes it easy to deposit and even easier to cash out your winnings fast. They have odds on everything, live betting, and an all-new prop builder, so you can create your own bet slips, bet however you want. You could bet from your desktop, your tablet, or use their world-class mobile site that lets you bet anytime, anywhere. Most importantly, MyBookie offers the fastest, no-hassle payouts when you win. That is a very important point. I've used other services in the past. I'm still waiting to get my money from the last year's Super Bowl. It's ridiculous. MyBookie, stress-free. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus. Just use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA when making your account. Visit MyBookie.ag today and bet on the internet's favorite sports book where you play, you win, you get paid. All right, we're going to get to our spotlight players later on. But let's go to Twitter first and check out some of the comments that you sent in using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Kaibo Ren tweets in, is it time for people to give serious consideration to Coach Spo for Coach of the Year? David, you kind of talked about this earlier, and people are starting to recognize, I think, Spo's impact on this team. There is no reason that this Heat team should be as good as they are. But nobody, I think, gets more out of their players during the regular season than Eric Spoelstra does, just from on a game-to-game basis. This team is always playing so hard. We hear about it all the time. But also, they're used the right way. You know what I mean? Like, just the fact that, like, Bam Adebayo is playing the way he is, just, like, out of nowhere. The fact that Wayne Ellington, two games ago against the Raptors, didn't hit a three to win the game, but hit a layup to win the game. He is allowing these guys to kind of expand their games in an effective way. Like, the timing just seems right about it. He just has such a good – he's got such a – he knows the pulse of this team so well. We need to start talking about him for Coach of the Year. What do you think?
I agree and disagree at the same time. Like, the Adebayo case is such an interesting one because, you know, obviously there were so many people calling for him to get increased playing time earlier in the year when Miami was struggling. They weren't winning at a high level, and people were suggesting, look, if you're not going to win, might as well get your rookie in there. And we'd always preach patience. And it's funny because that's exactly what Spoelstra did. He got – he had – you know, Adebayo kind of watch the game, understand his role, and still work and still work. He has such incredible athleticism, but you need to fine-tune it. You need to get it in there and maximize what he brings. And I think that's what we're starting to see now. And what we've seen over the last few weeks as well. Even when we were questioning whether or not he might not get much playing time with the increased usage out of Kelly Olynyk, et cetera, Spoelstra's found a comfortable balance there. As far as the Coach of the Year thing is concerned, I don't know. I think it's a little too soon just yet. Like, we need to see something much more concrete. Obviously, Miami, I think, is leading the league in games due to injury. I think they've missed most games due to injury. I think they pointed that out in the broadcast yesterday. Maybe Phoenix, I want to say, was second most in the league. But either way, they haven't had a full complement as far as their players is concerned. Spoelstra has gone the most out of them yet again. But I just don't see how it fits into the overall narrative. I think right now, if you'd have to pin a Coach of the Year candidate, it'd probably be Brad Stevens just because of incorporating Kyrie in his first year in Boston, the loss of Gordon Hayward, trying to get young players like Jason Tatum, which that's impressive in its own right. The same way we're talking about Adebayo, the fact that Jason Tatum is a potential all-star in his rookie year and playing defense at a high level when he was criticized at coming out of Duke for his defense, that's pretty impressive. So I think Stevens does deserve it at this point. I think the national media at large that votes for it will probably favor Stevens, who has yet to win the award.
That Boston media is just going to propagandize the entire thing, and just they're gonna will Stevens to a victory on that. I think my top – I'll give you a top four in no particular order. I think it's – top four for Coach of the Year. No particular order. I think it's Stevens, Dwayne Casey of Toronto, Eric Spoelstra, and – Greg Popovich. And what? I'll give you top five. Tom Thibodeau for what he's been able to do in Minnesota. He's got them at fourth place. I'm with you. He's like a deep fifth place, but I think he should at least he'll get consideration.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. I mean, look, he's below
not my top five. My coach of the year.
and your top four is just right there because for Pop to be able to get the Spurs to yet again Spurs the way they do.
Without Kawhi Leonard. Other than eight games Kawhi has played this season. Yeah, exactly. Popovich is like the Coach of the Year and LeBron James is the MVP every year. So you could give it to them and nobody would complain every single season. But those are like Pop's work this year is particularly interesting just because, like you said, all the injuries that they've been dealing with. But I think Eric Spoelstra really does have – the thing about the Celtics is that they have Kyrie Irving. You know, they've got a bunch of draft picks who were picked really high. Tatum was third in the draft. They've got a bunch of guys that really – Toronto has Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, and they've just sort of always been there. you know, they've always been like one of the top three teams in the East for the last several years. And the Spurs are, you know, yes, they are a machine of Greg Popovich's making, and he deserves all of the credit all the time for that. But they're still a team with LaMarcus Aldridge. Eventually they'll get Kawhi back. Manu Ginobili is still there. Tony Parker is still there. Names that we recognize and know. Pau Gasol. Miami's doing this with nobody. Like, Miami is – Boston's going to have an all-star this year. Toronto's going to have an all-star this year. The Spurs are going to – they better have an all-star this year. LaMarcus Aldridge better make the all-star team this year. He's been unbelievable. Miami doesn't have anybody that is going to make an all-star, and frankly, they don't have anybody that deserves to make an all-star game because it's an ensemble effort in Miami, and I really think Spoelstra deserves the credit. You and I think, need to start really pushing that case. Maybe we can win it for him. I don't know. But he deserves to be in that conversation.
Yeah, I love his overall approach. Like, he is definitely such a steadying influence. You know, look, his blow up against Whiteside in the most recent game before the Pacers, notwithstanding, I think he's just been able to really get to know these players and get them to just, I don't know, continue to show up every night. Like, it's such a difficult thing. Look, I mean, last year it was, how do you hold your head up despite the 11-30 start? This year, with higher expectations, it's, you know what, we're not playing at a super high level, but we're all going to come in there and find a way to pitch in. We're all going to find a way to contribute. There's something great about that, to be honest with you. And he's just so undervalued. There are still people who I see on Twitter all the time criticizing him as a coach, that the only reason he's ever achieved any kind of success is because of what happened in the Big Three era, and that is so far from the truth. So I hope they continue to see his maturation process. Like, every year it seems like this is a new version of Spoelstra. And he
almost won it last year.
Yes,
but
he couldn't
have won it because the team didn't make the playoffs. But he won, like, the Associated Press. He won one of the coach awards.
Yeah, sure, with Mike D'Antoni.
All right, Chris tweets in. We got to do this one quickly. Chris tweets in, with Bam Adebayo and Derek Jones Jr. on the floor, this team has so much vertical spacing, which makes up for the lack of shooting in a lot of cases. Guys are so worried that they're going to keep a gut body on them. David, what's your 30-second take on that, on Chris' tweet?
I think he's absolutely right. Derek Jones has been a revelation. I think there, you can find a quality spot for him in a limited amount of time. And he just brings that overall athleticism. You know, the rest of the guys along the perimeter can continue to take shots. And as long as there's a rebound anywhere near the rim, Derek Jones can go get it, as well as Bam. So that's definitely a great advantage.
You know, I agree mostly, but I did notice that when Bam Adebayo is out there with Whiteside, teams are ignoring Bam Adebayo because they'll play him at power forward. The Heat will, and teams just won't space. The floor won't be as spaced as when it's, say, Kelly Olynyk in that power forward slot, or James Johnson, better yet, in that power forward slot. I noticed in that Indiana game a lot of that Bam-Whiteside lineup kind of cramped the paint for them. But in general, 100%, when Bam's at center or Derrick Jones is just even in there, you've got to worry about those guys. You've got to put a body on them. We'll have our spotlight players up next, but first, quick reminder to make sure that you are subscribed to Locked On Heat on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts, and to leave us a review on iTunes. It helps other Heat fans discover the show. Also, be sure to check out the rest of what the Locked On Podcast Network has to offer, including shows for every NBA and NFL team. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's time for our spotlight players. David, who you got?
I got Bam Adebayo, to be honest with you. I think he had another strong showing against the Pacers. We needed him with James Johnson out, and he stepped up. He played 31 overall minutes. He surpassed Whiteside as far as overall playing time. Whiteside only played 28. But Adebayo finished with 15 points on 4 of 9 shooting, finished with 2 rebounds and an impressive 5 assists. So he's a guy who can definitely make that pass, find a cutter, get the ball out onto the perimeter when guys were knocking those shots down. So that's great. He also had one steal. But the most impressive part, I think, of his stat line was the 7 of 9 shooting from the free throw line. That's such a great advantage to have a rookie who can knock down those shots. We talked about it when he was first drafted. He was a guy who drew a lot of fouls. He could make them at a pretty high level. He's exceeded that, I think, our expectations of that. Mm-hmm. And he's starting to show some flash from the outside. I know he doesn't quite space the floor the way Olynyk does. Not a lot of guys do. But Adebayo is showing that jumper more and more. He had a nice baseline jumper the night before. Yesterday, he had one from about 15 to 18 feet or so.
It's a Haslam spot.
Yeah. So he's showing a little bit more range. So you just have to be aware of it. And I think you know, right now, I don't know that there's much of a scouting report on him other than he's really country strong and he's going to bulldoze, you know, you out of the way and probably leap over you. But eventually, as the season progresses, if he starts to show that more and more, I think you're going to start to see people respect that jumper a little bit.
You know, we're going to, I think, look back when we're looking back on this season, we're going to look at this back-to-back road stand here, this road trip between the Toronto Raptors and the Indiana Pacers. I think as a moment that Bam Adebayo really took a next step forward in his development. Just the way he's been used against Toronto and against Indiana is so much different than the way he was used in when he was either filling in for Whiteside or just as the start of the season, where he's basically just a screen setter, roll hard to the rim, get some rebounds. That's what you're doing. You know, some tip in dunks and things like that. Like you said, he's spacing the floor a little bit more. He's using his shot. He's not afraid to put the ball on the floor, which is how he's drawing those fouls now, right. Which is something that we saw really in summer league. And then moreover, he's really that same thing that we love from Kelly Olynyk in the offense with all the dribble handoffs and the way he's able to facilitate and how the offense is so often ran through Olynyk. The Heat are doing that with Bam Adebayo. It's amazing that they're doing that with a rookie where there are several possessions in a row where he touches the ball every possession at the top of the key or in the horn set and is just running through those dribble handoffs. These two games, these back-to-back games, are going to be one of the moments that we recognize as Bam Adebayo's development and next step in his development. I really think that we're going to look at those games because the way that they're using him is completely different than the way they were using him before, and they've prepared him for that role, right? Like, absolutely. Him and Olynyk can play the same role. You know, a lot of people tend to compare Bam to Hassan Whiteside because they're the two centers on the floor or on the team. But really, Bam's skill set is more in line with somebody like Kelly Olynyk because he's so versatile and because his game is perimeter-oriented just in the way that he can move around there. But my spotlight player is Hassan Whiteside, actually. And I mean this in a good way for once. 16 points, 15 rebounds, 4 blocks. He had an assist. What really impressed me about Whiteside's game against against Indiana was that Spoelstra had him there at the end of the game. We know that that hasn't been the case in a lot of these games lately. And Whiteside had a really controlled game in those last few minutes. Outside of that foul that he had on Victor Oladipo, where Oladipo went to the line, but luckily for the Heat, he made one of the two free throws. I credit Oladipo more for that than blame Whiteside. Oladipo is really good at just drawing fouls. So outside of that, it was almost a flawless last few minutes for him. I mean, he was getting rebounds, he was setting great screens, and what impressed me the most is that there were so many times that the Heat had to go to him to do that Olynyk thing, to do the Bam Adebayo thing where you put him in that horns position in that triple threat spot and ask him to hold the ball, scan the floor, hit your dribble handoffs and time those things right, set good screens. And he did all of it. And at no point did he just be like, screw it, I'm going to take this weird 18-foot push jumper. Like, he didn't do that, which has been such a bad habit for him for the last like 2 or 3 years now. He didn't do any of that. It was just a really controlled effort by him. I thought he really made a difference for the Heat at the end.
Absolutely. Look, I had 4 things that I noticed about him yesterday that I think stood out to me personally. He had that huge tip in with about 2.5 minutes left to push Miami up by 3. You know, he didn't take the shot. He didn't do anything. He didn't yell. He didn't like command attention. He made the tip, got down court, and put the Heat up at a point in time when Indiana was making a strong push towards the end there. On top of that, like when he picked up his 4th foul, I think Eric, no, it might have been, well, I'm not sure if it was Reed or Fiorentino who pointed it out, but he did kind of pick up that 4th foul, and then the tempo just really changed where Indiana really started making a stronger push. Yeah. They just without him there on the floor, it just seemed like Indiana grew in confidence. There was another moment there where he was attempting to save the ball out of bounds on a Miss Ellington 3-pointer. Did you see that? I think it was in the first or second quarter. The ball sailed out of bounds, and Whiteside actually went and tracked it and tried to save it. Unfortunately, it didn't work out for him. But
good effort.
Look, dude, I mean, I feel like we've become like incredible Whiteside apologists now after the few first few months of the season where we were criticizing him, but this is a different version of him. And I think like everybody more and more, you know, obviously Locked On Raptors, Sean Woodley, I was listening to his podcast following up the Miami Heat win. And he cannot stand Hassan Whiteside. And I'm just curious, like now I'm starting to see a different better version of Whiteside, and I feel like I've kind of flipped the script a little bit. It's hard. It's a hard adjustment for me. What else was? Oh, the one time when he did pick up that foul when he kind of – oh, no, he was called for steps when he went against Sabonis, trying to get Sabonis to draw a foul late in the game. I think he's actually I don't know that it was actually a travel. I had to rewatch that, but I don't know if it was actually a travel. I think he kind of gathered and might have tried to put up a shot there. But either way, I'm just starting to see a much more composed – I think that's the word you use, and I think it applies perfectly. Like, he's a much more mature version of him. And again, it fits into what we've talked about for a long time. He needs to embrace the smaller role and just learn how to thrive in it. And I think he's done that.
He did that, and he was in there at the end of the game. And that's, I think Olynyk was struggling. Bam Adebayo wasn't insanely effective, even though he was your spotlight player of the game. I thought Whiteside was just more effective there, and that's why he was in there. And that's what's going to happen. Thank you to MyBookie.ag, your hookup for all of your betting needs. Go to mybookie.ag, use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA to get a bonus on top of your first deposit. We'll be back tomorrow, but that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening and for subscribing. You can send mailbag questions and ask about advertising by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com. Tweet your questions and comments for our recaps using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Music is courtesy of Malve Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.